Today's share in the Deir Shu Mishnah Berurah Yomi program is Daf Kuf Tes Omid Beis. We're in the third volume of Mishnah Berurah. We are still in Simen Shin Ches, learning the halachos of various muktza things. We have to be on the very, very top line, the very first word. We are in the middle of Sif Lamed Aleph, and the Mechaber continues, and he talks about a piece of meat. V'chein imhu tafuach, if you have a piece of meat that is swollen. The Ramo explains Pirush Masriach, which is from Rashi, that it's spoiled. This piece of meat is not considered muktzah despite the fact that it's spoiled. Mishum deroy leklavim, because a dog will eat it. And therefore, as we brought down in yesterday's share at the beginning of the sif, something that is edible for an animal that is around or prevalent, even if you don't even actually have that animal yourself, but certainly if you do have that animal, so then it is not considered muktzah. The Chofetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha Dibra Maslu V'chein Im Hu Tafuach points out this is true afilu im nisfach b'Shabbos, even if it became spoiled on Shabbos as well. And this is accord with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon in regards to nevelo shenisnavlo b'Shabbos, an animal that died on Shabbos. This is acceptable to be not considered mukta and is edible for an animal. Now we go to Sif Lamed Beis. The Chaber writes, dog maluach, a salted fish, even though it hasn't been cooked, but it's salted, mutalataltlo, so it's certainly edible, and therefore there is no aspect of muktzah involved in this. The Mishnah Berurah explains in Sif Katan Kuchavav, bein hamin shikorin herring, ubein kol aminim. This is true whether we're dealing with a herring or other fish. The fact that they're salted means that they're edible. The kivin shu maluach, roy lechol ayyadeh hadchak. They didn't have sushi so much in those days, and they would have a slightly salted fish, so even though it would be edible only under somewhat of a duress, so therefore it is considered edible and not muktzah, and it has the exact same halachic status like we spoke about yesterday, kemo boso dechaz liyum, so even raw meat that people would sometimes eat, v'wadin dog me'usher, and the same halach applies to a smoked fish over here, as brought down in the Tosefta Shabbos, and therefore if fish is allowed to be moved, it's not muktzah. However, v'she'ena maluach, but if it's totally not salted, it's a totally raw fish, also, mipnei shein oroi, it is not able to be eaten because it is not considered edible. Mishnah Berurah explains, however, in Sivkot and Kuf Chav Zayin, hataz pirish dahainu shein oroi af leklovim. We're talking here, according to the Taz, that it's not even edible for an animal. Because, dimay oroi leklovim, because as we've already pointed out, if it's edible for a dog, and dogs are always considered prevalent, after ein omid lachilas klovim mutal letaltal, even though you don't really want to give it to the dogs because you'd like to eat it eventually yourself, cook it and roast it, etc. yourself. Nevertheless, it's edible for a kelev, so this is talking about where it's not even edible for a kelev. However, Aval Morgan of Rom, Kosev, the Morgan of Rom disagrees with the Taz, and he writes, the Dover Omid Lachilas, Adam, if something is fit for human consumption, Vein Oroi Lechol Kach Ad Motzei Shabbos, but it will not be edible until after Shabbos, you have to cook it, then after Oroi Hu Lachilas Klovim, nevertheless, even though a dog would be more than happy to eat it, a person doesn't want the dog to eat it. He, so to say, excludes the dog from eating it. And therefore, it's not considered edible for a dog right now because you don't want to give this very fancy piece of salmon to the dog. You want to save it to cook it. Matzah Shabbos. Therefore, based upon this reasoning, Shuman Somnein Shel Behema, if you have cold fat from an animal, and it's not edible right now for a person, but he wants to save it, then it does have the status of muktzah. And in fact, according to this Morgan of Ram, the Mishnah Berurah explains, King Pasku Achronim, the Achronim Paskin over here, like this Morgan of Ram. He brings us down the Sharat Zion, Oskofei, the Derech HaChayim, the Sefer Shabbos, the Graz, Chayyadim, and the Shulchan Shlomo. Now, Dirsha footnote number 131 brings down if there is a tremendous financial loss over here. For example, Kidon dog shemes bebricha, you have a small little pond of fish, and one fish dies in there. And if you don't take that dead fish out, all the other fish are going to die. So then, Ravazan Zatzal and the Shevet Halevi brings down, Sheish lismoch al das chelik me'arishonim v'taz. And you can rely upon the opinion of those Rishonim, which the Taz Paskins like, that you could move it. Because of the great financial loss, they were makel, and you'd be allowed to remove the dead fish. And this is also the opinion of Yashiv Zatzal. He says, in regards to a refrigerator that's no longer working, and everything inside the refrigerator would be spoiled, so you'd be allowed to move the contents from that refrigerator to another refrigerator because of the Hesed Godel. Dishu footnote number 132 brings down, if a person in the middle of Shabbos changed his mind and decided to feed the fish to the dogs, even though it was a fancy fish, whatever, he changes his mind, so then Rabbi Kiva Eger Zatzal brings down that you'd be allowed to be metaltal in that situation. However, the Chazon Ish disagrees, and he writes it would be forbidden to be metaltal based upon the principle of Migushe Eskatsoi Ben Ashmashos, it's Katsoi Kula Yom Kula. Sif Lamed Gimel. The Mechaber writes, a kameya, an amulet, she'ena mumcha, that is not considered an amulet that is proven. The Mishnah Berurah explains, we've already learned this. Uma nikra kameya mumcha and sif katan kuf chav ches, what's considered a proven or non-proven amulet? We learned that in great detail in Simon Shin Aleph Sif Chav Hei. We talked about how many times it had to work to be proven to work for this amulet, for this person, and go back and review those shirim that we gave. The Mishnah Halachos is brought down in Dirshu footnote number 133. The Ungva Rebbe, Rav Menashe Klein Zatzal, he says that when talking here, Kavanaso Bekameya Shiadua Sheino Mumcha, we know for a fact that it's not a good amulet. So the Chabad tells us, Afa Pi Shein Yotzebo, you wouldn't be allowed to carry this on Shabbos outside an area we're not allowed to carry, as we've already learned. Nevertheless, it's not Muktzah Metaltel Noso. It retains its status of being usable, and you could use it and move it, but you can't carry it outside. Sivkot and Kuf Chavtes, the Mishbur explains, Hainu Rishos Harabim, that means to go out into Rishos Harabim, Avol Karmel Shori, but into an area where it's only prohibited to carry Midrabanan, so then you'd be allowed to, because the Afla Rishos Harabim Lekochiv Chatas, because even to carry it into a real Rishos Harabim, it wouldn't be a Chiv of a Chatas to wear the amulet, the Derech Malbushu, because technically you're wearing it, although also Rach Midrabanan, and only the rabbis instituted not to wear such an amulet outside. And therefore, that's only in an Issa Daraisa area where they go to their Dindrabanan. Or the Mele of Karmel Shori, since it's only an Issa Darabonin not to wear it outside, and if you're talking about wearing it in an area where it's only an Issa Darabonin not to carry, therefore the rabbis wouldn't restrict you in the Carmelis. Lefi Mashin Ogim Idna Kiswar Achrona Leil B'Simin Shin Gimel Sif Yud Ches, and that's what we've already learned. What I just told you now, we learned over there. Ken Kosev Sif El Yerabba, there's the opinion of El Yerabba, and also V'Chein Tzide Gam Kei B'Sefer Tosefer Shabbos Lohoros Kamar Shal Shemeko B'Carmelis. This lenient opinion to allow the Rabbanon, on the Rabbanon, so to say, to allow you to go and wear it out into a Carmelis. However, it's not like the opinion that's stricter of the Morgan of Ram, or the local Morgan of Ram. Then he brings down what we say for Shulchan Atzei Sheet in Pasach, Gam came the Mutu Lotzis Lekarmelis Bistam Kameya Shalom Bat Kua Velo Hoel. You're allowed to go and carry, again, taking the lenient approach of here to wear this Kameya out into an area. When you're talking about a Karmelis, it's only in Dindarabon not to carry there, even with a Kameya that hasn't been checked out and will not work. However, Abu Kameya She'eno Mumche Vadai, but if you know that it's Kameya that definitely has been proven not to work, then Afla Karmelis also, then he wouldn't allow you to go even into a Karmelis. Again, however, it isn't Mukta, and you would be allowed to be Metaltalit. Sif Lamed Dalet, the Mechaber tells us, call David Metunaf, anything that is filthy. For example, Kigon Re'i, waste, Okia, vomit, Vitzoa, excrement. So it could be a term that's used for any type of excrement, not only fecal material, but even mucus material, etc. Bein shel adam, bein shel tarnegolim, whether it's human waste over here, or it's animal waste, like for example chicken waste, b'chayotzei behem, or anything similar to that. So what's the halacha? Im hayu b'chotzer shiyoshim ba, if it's in a place where humans are living, and therefore this is going to be disgusting and bothersome to you, so then we have a special din of mukta over here that is mukta machmas mios, it's disgusting, and you're allowed to move it. And therefore mutta lo tziyam la'ashba, you'd be allowed to remove this to the garbage, or the besakise, or to remove it to the bathroom and flush it down the toilet. Ba'afilu b'lo b'kli, and you could even do this directly with your hands if there is no alternative. But if this excrement is in a place where you're not living and it's not really going to bother you, then you shouldn't move it because it has the status of being mukta. However, but if you're concerned that children may go and play there and they'll get themselves dirty with this, so then muta lichfos olel kli. Then you'd be allowed to cover it up with a kli, even though we normally wouldn't allow you to do that, but here you'd be allowed to do that because the children would become dirty with this mukta stuff, this physical waste. Now we have a couple of Mishnah Berurahs over here. Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Kuf Lamed explains Chayotzei Bahen Ayin Lekamim Sin Shin Lamed Ches Sov Siv Ches, and the Gemara over there, the Gemara Isa, the Achbar Meis Hanimsa. If you find the dead mouse, Mutu Lo Tzio B'Yodayim, you can even pick it up with your hands, Mitam Grav Shobi, because it has the same status as excrement waste over here, which is disgusting to you, and therefore you could even move it with your hands if there's no other choice and remove it, even though it would technically be mukta, but since it's mukta machmas mias, it's disgusting, there are certain heterim you'd be allowed to move it with your hand. The issue footnote number 134 brings down, how do we define something as being disgusting? So the Ramah in Simon Reish Ayin Tes explained, Shetluya b'miyus hadavar b'yene b'nei adam. It's somewhat of a subjective thing. And it's also the Mishnah Berurah's opinion over there as well. It's a subjective issur. Now he then brings down from Moshe Feinstein's Atzala Igros Moshe, Shedin Graf Shari Toloi Bechol Odom VeOdom, that it's totally dependent upon a subjective analysis for each person. V'chelifi Matzav Halichluch, and likewise, even though in one situation this might be considered disgusting to you, in another situation it wouldn't be disgusting to you, and it also depends in Mefuzahu Olo, is it spread out over the whole area or is it in one specific place? So there's many, many subjective aspects of this din of Graf Shari, which is a very, very important halacha. Furthermore, he brings out a little bit later in this footnote, he says if you have shells or peels that are garbage, and it's only a little bit, it's not really disgusting, but it bothers you. Imos mamoshus. It's very unpleasant for you. You come in, guests come into your house, and they would see this, and you would be embarrassed because the guest thinks that your house is a filthy place. So then, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Zatzal says, and this is also the opinion of Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, Shari Bechlal Graf Shari. They are considered over here Graf Shari, even though somewhat objectively it's certainly not disgusting, but since it would cause you embarrassment and it's unpleasant to you, that is also status of a Graf Shari and could be moved. Likewise, even something that in and of itself, it's not disgusting. For example, you go in patishim mismarim, you have all sorts of tools over the place. So Shlomo Zalman Zatzal says, they're on the table. You wouldn't want this stuff on your dining room table all week long, and therefore it has the status of a graf shori. You'd remove it on a Tuesday, so you'd be allowed to remove it on a Shabbos. You'd be allowed to move them away. Later in the footnote, he points out, furthermore, that if something right now is not a graf shori, but it will become a graf shori, right now it's not horrible, but in a short period of time, on that Shabbos, it will become horrible, so then you'd be allowed to remove it now as well. Dish footnote number 135 brings down, if you have a live mouse that's trapped in a mouse trap, so if this in Karlich Shlita brings down, she'eno nechshav kegraf shori, that's not considered a graf shori. Because it's not disgusting, the animal's alive, you're not happy with it, it's bothering you. However, he brings down, according to Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal, af ach borchai nechshav kegraf shel re'i, and one would be allowed to remove it. Furthermore, he says, if there is another way to get rid of it other than you picking up with your hands, a guy could take it out or a child could take it out, so then the Aruch HaShulchan writes that it would be preferable to do it that way. You shouldn't do it yourself. But Moshe Feinstein Zatzal and Igros Moshe brings down the cotton in Lasso's cane. However, he recommends that you do not do this with a cotton. The goy is not a problem. But if you do it with a cotton, the child will eventually think that you're allowed to be metal to mukta, and therefore be preferable not to ask a cotton to do this for you. Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Kuflam and Aleph said, if it's in a chatzer where you're living, then you're allowed to move the Garaf Shari. Hainu Shadarmba, because you're living over there. Kamoa Chatzeros, Hoasuyos, Lifnei Abatim, like the courtyards that are in front of the houses where people use them. Lav Dafka, you're sleeping over there, but you're using it. Shumokum, Drisa Seregu, you're constantly walking over there. And therefore, if there was waste over there, disgusting things, the Tiru Lefanosu Mishum Kvodo, you'd be allowed to remove it because of the covet of covet Abrius. Likewise, if it was in an alley area that people are walking over there, mutul l'sakul l'tzadim, you could push it to the side, as brought down in the Magen Avraham. Mishnah Berurah Sivkot and Kuflam Beis says you could even move it with your hands. Komash v'lon, the lo tema, the lo itiru l'talta rach agav kli. You shouldn't think that you can only move it indirectly with some sort of a kli, but even if there is no choice, you could remove it with your hands. Sivkot and Kuflam and Gimel, but if nobody's really living there, Bein Shu Chotzer Acheretz, it's in another yard. O Shu Chotzer Sha'achori Abatim, or the backyard, which they didn't use as often. O Shu Munach B'Yash B'Shu Chotzer, or it's in a garbage pail, so it's not really bothering anybody. Das also L'Tatlam, then you wouldn't be allowed to go and move it. The issue footnote number 138 brings down, V'chein Odom Sha'omid Lotzeis Mideso B'Shabbos, V'einu Otzid Lachzor Elov Ad Lachar Shabbos. The person's leaving his house now, and he's not planning to come back. So then, Rav Yashiv Zatzal says, you wouldn't be allowed to go and remove those the Graf Shal Re'i things in the house, which you normally would be allowed to move. And there's also the opinion of Nissen Karolis, Sha'osa La'odom Zeh L'Hosir Es HaLichluchim Sha'agav Yashulchim. You can't go clear off the table, because if you're not going to be there, it's not going to bother you. But if you're intending possibly to return, so Nissen Karolis Shlita says that you would be allowed then, because it would be disturbing to you later on, so that's fine. Or if you're staying there even just for a little bit and it will bother you for that little bit of time, it's also allowed to be moved. Sivkot and Kuflam and Aleph, the Mishnah Berurah explains that the Mechaber told us you can't remove it if you're not going to be there. The halachazi lemidi v'hu muktzah kevin, because this waste is not usable for anything and it has the halachic status of an evan, which is not allowed to be moved. And this is true v'adin hagrafa of it below ri umei raglayim gam kinoser. Likewise, you have a chamber pot or a urinal that aren't currently containing waste, so you wouldn't be allowed to move them as well. Kivin shumako shein darsham, if it's in a place where nobody is living or using it, so then the Al Yeraba is brought down by the Al Yeraba would say you're not allowed to move it. However, if it's filled up and you want to relieve yourself over there, and there's no room to go and relieve yourself in this pot, even though nobody's really living over there, and in and of itself the waste there wouldn't be a bother, but now you want to use the waste pot, mutalotzio, you would be allowed to go and remove the waste, move it, olach zero mishum kvar abrius, and then to return it over there because that's where you need to go to the bathroom, and therefore kvar abrius again would allow you to go and empty this waste pot and bring it back over there, even though on its own, since nobody's really using that area, you wouldn't be allowed to do this under other situations. So if cut and kuflam, and hey, we said you can cover up the waste in a situation like this, so children don't get dirty from it. So he teaches us over here, ashbinam bazeh, the lotema, the ain kli nitol, elatzor davar hanitol. Don't think over here that you're only allowed to move something onto something else, that other thing can be moved. No, since even though you can't move the waste over here, but you'd be allowed to cover it up, it's not a problem. Now we go to Sif Lamed Hey. The Mechaber writes, even though you're permitted to go and remove this chamber pot filled with waste, or this urinal filled with meiraglayim, the Mishnah Berurah explains the Sif Kut and Kuf Lamed Vav, the graf for Ovich Dam Shalcheres, both of these are made out of earthenware. And we call one a graf, Elishori, Nikro graf, Vishal meiraglayim, Nikro Ovich. They just have different names for them, but they're made from the same material. One is for excrement, feces, and the other one is for urine. And the same halacha would apply even if they were made out of wood, that they get absorbed the waste into them. However, if it's metal, there is a different halacha, and Simon Pezayin is quickly mentioned over here in the issue footnote number 139, where he reminds us, things that are made out of non-absorbent material, for example, such as metal or glass, and they're washed out well, ain't no nechshav klimos, they're not considered disgusting. He brings down a little bit later in the footnote, what about a child's potty? It's made out of plastic. So he brings down from the Shelus Tshuvas Or Litzion. Zatzal, this was one of the great Sfardi Poskim from the previous generation. So he brings down, Shedino Kigrafa Osim Imatechas. That has the same halacha status as the metal. It doesn't really absorb it. Kivin Sheino Boleya. And this is also the opinion of Rav Yashiv Zatzal. They wouldn't be allowed to move unless there is actually excrement inside of them. In and of themselves, they are not muktzu machmas mius. Then the Mishnah Berurah continues and writes, "Vinei graf for ovid, these urinals or chamber pots, ava pishu kli, even though they have the status of a kli, normally you can move a kli, mikol makum hu b'kal muktzu machmas gufo, they're considered something that is in intrinsically itself muktzu, mishum demoyes habe, because they're very disgusting. The chomer mistam muktzu machmas mius, and it's even more stringent than a typical muktzu machmas mius, the kaimulon b'reish simen shinyur demutter, that you would be allowed to move them for various reasons. And here, the graf hu ki evin the domain, here, this chamber pot or urinal without the feces and side of it is considered like a rock, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to move it. And the only reason you're allowed to move it is if you're living there and it's disgusting to you to have it there, you'd be allowed to move it for covered abrios. However, but if you want to bring it back, you should put some water into it so you're using it as a kli. Because in that situation, you'd be allowed to move it because of the water inside of it. And that's what the Mechaber really tells us. I stopped in the middle of the Mechaber. We said, you're allowed to move them when you go and dump them out, when you want to return it, also lachzirim elo imkei nosan l'solcha mayim. You should only return it if you're using it as a kli, and you put some water in it, so now you're allowed to return it because of the water inside of it. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah says in Sif Katan Kuf Lamed Zayin. Because of the Mogen Avraham, the ba'odo b'yado, however, if it's in your hand, mutu lachzirim apelo mayim. If you haven't put it down, you just dumped out the waste inside of it. You're still holding it, you'd be allowed to return it to its original place. However, says, they disagree over here with this idea. And you can see this in Dershu footnote number 140, where it brings down, lachziko biyado lenaro l'socha ashpa. If you're holding it in your hand and you want to dump it out into a waste area, so then the Chazon Ish writes, mutter gam l'deyazu. That you'd be allowed to do l'chatchila. V'neishim me'ikra din lo nisbat v'min Hashem kli machmas emios. Because it still retains the status of a kli because of the waste inside of it. It's designated purpose, and therefore lo chala olav gzerazu. Therefore, this gzer over here doesn't apply in this situation. And therefore, the Chazon Ish pashtuns that if you couldn't put water inside of it, you'd be allowed to return it to its place. Mutalachlinso gambali mayim. If there is no water, you can return it. Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Kufla Amelches says this water, v'davka k'shem ru'uyim adayin l'shtiyas behema. The water has to be potable for an animal. The imlokein afemayim grafein, because otherwise the water is not really functional, so it's not called a kli for the water. V'nimi distam ha'shol chanarach, from the fact that the Shulchan Aruch didn't mention this, mashma dafilu ein tzarech lotzi botzo meraglayim shorelach zero ayide mayim. Even if you do not have to go and put more tzoa or meraglayim into it, you'd be allowed to return it via putting water into it. However, others disagree. Then he tells us, look as well in the Elia Rabbah, if this graf shori'i over here was put into a place, you dumped out the contents from it, and you put it in a place where it's being watched, and it's not dangerous over there, and no one's going to steal it, lo yachni sena shelo tzorach, then you shouldn't bring it back unless you have a good specific reason to do so. With that, we will conclude today's shir.